Hey guys, your favorite blockhead has some very exciting news. I want to let you guys know that your favorite blockhead is now a proud member of the Yogi's Podcast Network. YFB is proud to bring you more content from my friends Mike and Toria over at The Nightly Rant. So you can follow their shows on the Yogi's Podcast Network, which will include Peeling the Orange, which will deal with all the issues in Orange County, The Nightly Rant, Liberty Revealed, and even one of my favorites, the Elite Podcast Academy, where you can learn everything you want to know about being a professional podcaster, be able to reach more people and give your influence, even work on monetization and on podcast notes, you name it. This course will walk you through how to be a better podcaster. And your favorite blockhead is always very blessed to mention his membership with the Dose Leprechauns Podcast Network. You can find those links on the show, and you can always find Dose Leprechauns on iTunes and on YouTube. That being said, what do you say we go ahead and start the show, shall we? Broadcasting live. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by once again. You are tuning in to the very first episode of a mini-series that is taking place here on Your Favorite Blockhead. We've made it to episode 100, and now we are taking you on a different journey in this mini-series called This Is America, You Blockhead. We are going to be going in-depth and taking a look at one of the greatest miniseries that Charles Schulz ever put out for Americans to enjoy for years to come. This Is America, Charlie Brown, came out in the 80s, and we have enjoyed having that in our home ever since. There are 8 fantastic episodes, and in this podcast, we're going to take a look in depth at one of the episodes and at one of the greatest technological innovations in American history that changed our nation forever, the Transcontinental Railroad. But before we get into that, guys, just to get you some security in your home to never have to worry about a kick in to your front door ever again, I want to talk to you about my friends over at Armor Concepts, the easy armor exterior and exterior door security and protection installation is police tested and recommended. The Door Armor Max Plus combo set provides the ultimate indoor kick in protection, complete with a 1-door armor jam shield, 2 mini door shields, 2 hinge shields, and 1 door armor pry shield. The fear of your house door ever being kicked in by a burglar will cease to exist with the door protection kits provided by Armor Concepts. Go to the link that I have for armorconcepts.com in this podcast. You can find it via the blog page, and you can automatically get 20% off of your purchase. There is no promo code needed for this. Just use the link to automatically get 20% off as a thank you from Armor Concepts and your favorite blockhead. So as we get into this story about the Transcontinental Railroad, I have to start with a quote by a man named William Gilpin. He called the railroad connections across the continent more powerful than law or popular consent or political constitutions to thoroughly complete the grand system that fraternizes us into one people. Now, if I go, even though I want to start immediately with This Is America, You Blockhead, it's a great scene where it opens. Charlie Brown is looking at his peers, he has his report ready, and he is presenting on the time. It starts in April 1866. After the Civil War had its completion. But to get started with where some of the actual beginnings of the locomotive happened, we have to go back to 1814. In the book, What Hath God Wrought, written by Daniel Howe, it talks about George Stephenson inventing a steam locomotive that could pull coal from a mine shaft to a nearby dock for loading onto a barge, and then by the time he gets to 1825, he demonstrates a locomotive that could pull 36 wagons of coal and flour along a level track for 9 miles and 2 hours. So later on, you're going to have him, Stevenson, getting involved in competitions, transporting passengers from Liverpool all the way to Manchester on a similar railway, and then there are going to be other prototypes that start popping up of the steam locomotive. And as we get into the story that where the railroad really, the production has to come to a halt because a house divided against itself cannot stand, and we have the war between the states, and at the completion, April 1866, the Civil War's come to an end, and this railroad is meant to symbolize hope and unity for the nation once again as it reconstructs, as it rebuilds on itself. There are loans and subsidies given up for each mile of track, and all of this is from the dream of a man named Theodore Judah, who dreamed of the Central Pacific being able to make its way through the Sierra Nevada. Now, that's the tricky part. When you start the Transcontinental Railroad, you have the Union Pacific that's going to be starting in Omaha, Nebraska, and then you have the Central Pacific starting from Sacramento, California, and they are meant to meet and connect for the last spike to be driven. The race has begun. However, there is one big issue that the Central Pacific faces that the Union does not. In a way, it's unfair that they would be called the hare in the story versus, I'm sorry, let me reverse that. The tortoise, in this case, versus the hare, which would be the Central Pacific, because they have one giant obstacle in front of them, the Sierra Nevada. You cannot take your tracks over the Sierra Nevada. You're going to have to blast through it with blasting powder, with dynamite, with nitroglycerin, which is very dangerous, and many casualties came out of that for Chinese immigrants working on the railroad. So if we look at that, the entire scene gets started. If you are wondering if I show my children this episode of the Transcontinental Railroad, am I going to get, not only is it going to be safe for the kids, but the question normally comes up, are you going to get accuracy? And my answer from your favorite blockhead is absolutely beyond the shadow of a doubt. Because as we get further into it, not only is everything I'm sharing with you, Charlie Brown has great thorough research through the entire episode, and as we get to the Winans brothers, you start to hear their beautiful songs such as Get On Board, Little Children, There's Room for Many Aboard. And those beautiful songs just fill the atmosphere. Just to give you a feel of what you can expect, you can hear it in the background as we speak.
There's room for many aboard. The little back trains are coming. I hear it around the bend. I hear the big wheels rumbling, rolling through the land. Get on board, little children. Get on board, little children. Get on board, little children. There's room for many aboard.
Most of the music in this episode is just fantastic. The Winans brothers are such a pleasure to listen to. And now as we get into the situation with the Sierra Nevada, most people that are going out into the West, if they even do work on the railroad tracks, they work just enough to be able to get them to California, and then they go try their luck in trying to attain gold. So sure enough, everything from children, Civil War vets, former slaves, are going to be involved in this huge, huge project, but they're going to give up as soon as they get to where they can go make a quick buck. And unfortunately, that means that Charles Crawford is going to be begging for help, so he reaches out to Chinese immigrants. However, there's going to be scoffing. How can these little men come in and work on a railroad? And Charles Crawford is the one that says, now, wait a minute. If the Chinese can build the Great Wall of China, there is no doubt in my mind that they can blast through the Sierra Nevada. It's even showed in the episode on how some of these are going to have to be, again, through innovations. I mentioned this about Spindletop using mud to get deeper into the rock and into the soil. The same thing is going to happen on the side of the Sierra Nevada, where they're going to be lowered in baskets, and they're going to light the blasting powder and push away and swing out from the mountain just enough to avoid the blast. And as we continue into the story, we swing back over to see how the hare is doing, the Central Pacific, and the Central Pacific, you have a scene where Spike, one of my personal favorites from the series, Spike being the brother that lives in Needles, California, out in the desert, who lives a life of seclusion. Spike comes in and actually goes and visits a saloon. Now, I'm going to leave that for some more detail later on in the episode. But what happens is Spike shows up, Schroeder's playing a piano inside of a saloon, several of the men are playing cards and drinking their root beer floats. Again, I'll get to that in a minute. But Schroeder actually mentions to Spike, "Are you the new piano player? Well, you better be good because this is a very knowledgeable crowd." And then you see Spike whip out the harmonica, and thus we have an interesting scene, but he doesn't last very long. He is booted out the door pretty quick. But, you know, when you realize that these two are trying to come together for so many different reasons, not just to connect the United States again from coast to coast, it's literally the idea from sea to shining sea, you've also got a competition where we are continually to stay, I guess you can say, for the sake of the country, you've got people who need work. But finally, when we get to the final Spike driven, this is where it gets controversial. When we get to the end, we have a scene where both of the tracks have met for the final Spike. President Grant has made his way out to drive the final Spike, and they do mention in this episode on how you have a final golden Spike and everybody misses it except Snoopy, meaning everybody who tries to hit the Spike with a sledgehammer misses the final Spike. Sure enough, who comes in to save the day? Snoopy. And you have a telegraph message going out that the last Spike has been driven. And then we have a famous picture that is taken. I love the fact that This Is America, Charlie Brown, does show the final picture for Grant and for everybody on the railroad shaking hands and the workers being in the background. But what's ironic and shows a black eye on American history is not a single Chinese worker is in that picture. Most of the time when I share that with students, their jaws hit the floor. They go, "Why?" That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Why? Why would the backbone of the Central Pacific not even being included as something as simple as a photograph for the newspaper? As I leave you to ponder that message and to go deeper into the episode, I want you to consider looking at my guys over at Earhooks. You can forget about earhooks falling out as you live your active life. Earhooks will make you forget you're wearing earbuds at all, those of you that are AirPod listeners. Earhooks provides a snug and secure fit in your ears, solving the problem of loose and uncomfortable fittings as you listen to your favorite music, your most recent podcasts, and your favorite blockheads. So you can click on the link in this podcast via the blog page, and provided you will learn more about earhooks and how to get 20% off of a 3-pack by using the promo code at checkout, TRIO20. That's TRIO20. All uppercase, two numbers, TRIO20. To get your 20% off a 3-pack from earhooks as a way of saying thank you from your favorite blockhead and from earhooks. Now, as I get further into this, when I compared, this is where I'm kind of covering my tracks here. When I compare the Transcontinental Railroad on Netflix, there is a series called The West. So you don't have to go and watch the documentary yourself, because sometimes I know how it is. You'll try to watch a documentary and you'll nod off, just like when I try to teach kids history. I can tell when the eyes are getting heavy and they start becoming bobbleheads. So I saved you the trouble. I'm going to watch this entire documentary in The West on Netflix called The Greatest Enterprise Under God, produced by Ken Burns, by George Francis, and by Stephen Ives. You're going to have an entire series about just the Transcontinental Railroad. Now, to give a little more detail on what I just shared with you, I shared with you what's going on with Charlie Brown and with how it does match beautifully. It almost mirrors everything that happens in the Netflix series of The West. It starts off where you have a steam whistle blowing. You have a quote from Walt Whitman, where he mentions the land being welded together. And sure enough, as we watch the scene, there's a Native American psalm that sings its way through the trees and through the land. We have a vision of the running buffalo along the Great Plains that will become nearly extinguished forever as a result of what the Native Americans called the Great Iron Horse. Now, before we can get into that, the Civil War is going to end, and now we have to unite the nation again from east to west. And this being one of the greatest technological advancements and achievements man has ever seen, it is a powerful surge of steam locomotives overnight that just leads to boom towns like places like Abilene, Wichita, Dodge City. You have employed Civil War vets, as I mentioned earlier, but also farmers that are poor at that time, immigrants from Europe, so that they could possibly have a farm or a piece of land they can call all their own. And in comes making a quick buck, known as the buffalo hunters, destroying a very way of life. Buffalo hunters could make more in a day by selling buffalo fur than the President of the United States could make in a year. Now, we know the incentive, we know the intent and the motive of the buffalo hunters. But I'm thankful for stories like Quanah Parker and the friendship between him and Charles Goodnight to make it to where this beautiful animal did not become extinct to us. So from Omaha to California, through the Sierra Nevada, across the deserts, across the prairies, where you face defiant Indians who are going to resist the passage, where the government's going to have land grants, aka loans from the U.S. Treasury, you have one other thing that I was saving right for this moment. And this tended to be a huge epidemic with the Union Pacific. As we move further out, I told you that one obstacle that they're facing in the Sierra Nevada is barely able to make its way through the mountain. But for the Union Pacific, you have the woods in that area. I wouldn't say the woods, but those prairies are still full of con men that are right on their tracks. This ties to the scene with the saloon and with Schroeder and with Spike, because these men would work 6 days a week and have one day off, meaning that the saloons are following them, the gambling is following them, and also the women are following. I hope you can piece together what I'm telling you here. And these men who are willing to throw their full week's pay at that 1 week. It's kind of like the Brooks and Dunn song about how spend my whole week's pay in some weekend beauty. It's quite common for these hardworking men on the Union Pacific Railroad. So the common, like saloon, owners, gamblers, gunmen. You want to talk about gun sales going through the roof? All of this on the heels of the Union Pacific workers. And in so many ways, bringing it back to the sad chapter that it is for the buffalo. The animal representation for the buffalo, for the Kiowa, was the representation of the sun. We can even think the sacrifice of what would they called sun dancers. And here they would watch the railroad coming through their land. As one Lakota said, puffing out smoke like a white man's pipe. The Lakota, the Cheyenne, the Sioux, and other derailed trains and surveyors, you know, as they watch this tear through their land, you have the result of war parties. And really, even though this is such a fantastic work project, you have to understand that really even 3 out of 5 are going to stick it out long enough to abandon the railroad because they want to go seek gold. And that is one thing we have to give back to the Chinese immigrants, is that these Union Pacific workers move out far enough just to go and seek their own fortune. The Chinese immigrants knew how to do something called work gangs. They already had one guy that you can mention to, and they can get the day's work done. When all is lost, they belonged in that picture. And I think we know why. Because your favorite blockhead has confronted the R word many times on this show. These Chinese working with nitroglycerin, working with black powder, with dynamite. The snowstorms of 1866 is another one that comes up. All the way from 1866 to 1868, you had instances where the snow would fall up to 6 feet. And finally, we have the meeting place at Promontory Point for the last spike to be driven. In reality, when we look at This Is America, Charlie Brown, we see one gold spike that Snoopy is actually able to drive. However, the truth behind that one is that you had two gold, one silver, and a fourth that was a blend of gold, silver, and iron with a silver maul in order to mark this occasion. And then there was a final ordinary spike that was to be driven. So really, it's two gold, silver, the blending, and then a final spike. There's really five of them. And the final ordinary spike is wired for the telegrapher's key to be hammered and be able to signal the completion. And yes, Leland Stanford is going to miss the first swing. The telegrapher, unfortunately, jumped the gun and said that the last spike had driven and been done. So even though the TV show shows you that Snoopy solidifies it and we tell America that the last spike's been driven, in reality, the last spike was not driven, but the telegrapher went ahead with the story anyway. We had an early celebration that went across America. And really, when I share all that for the West, there are also telegraph signals that I was going through, because there's a book that I read called The American West. It's by David Colbert. And when he talks about the race to the last spike, most of these are coming from Sacramento. They would say things like, "Work on as though heaven were before you and hell behind you." Just to follow a few little telegraph mentions here as we kind of wrap this story up, because I know this is a lot to chew on, guys. Main point being, This Is America, Charlie Brown, the Transcontinental Railroad, is probably 90% accurate. If you're worried about, is this going to be something worth showing to my kids, I can't promise that it's going to be entertaining. I can't promise you that we'll be informative. I would hope that'd be enough to sell you on the idea. But if we look and compare it to the West, the Netflix series, it mirrors exactly what Charles Schulz was trying to convey. In many ways, I think Charles Schulz could have been a historian if he wasn't a cartoonist. But as we look at the telegraph wires, all the way back, a quick little reverse. I mentioned how the railroad had to cease for a while. It really started in 1862 because the South had seceded and you had what was called the Pacific Railway Act that did establish the route all through the North. For the Union, we know it's Omaha, and Central it's Sacramento, but that came to a halt until the signing of surrender at Appomattox Courthouse, known as Lee surrendering to Grant, and thus the end of the Civil War. So 1866 pops up. Congress grants permission for the Central Pacific to build beyond the California-Nevada border. And when you combine all of these areas, eventually both of these companies are granted 150 million acres of land. Guys, that's almost the entire area of Texas. That's how grand this enterprise is, as the title said for Netflix of the Old West. So yes, Leland Stanford of California sent a telegraph about, before he made the last one, he said, "Hurry up with all possible speed to reach within 300 miles of Echo Canyon, as it is all important that we make that point." And of course, we overshoot it, and they end up in Promontory Point, and we have the completion of connecting the trains. So now, what took months of travel by wagon is going to take maybe 9 days by train from sea to shining sea. One last little key point I want to pull in. This one is not covered in either of those. That there were also, as I mentioned, how the woods are full of con men. really, what I mean is you're going to have hardworking men who are willing to throw their money away on one day of entertainment. However, there was an even bigger scandal that was happening under the table the entire time that the Transcontinental Railroad took place. This scam was called the Credit Mobilier scandal. And it was from a bank called the Credit Mobilier of America. Obviously, it's defunct. But if we look back over this, the scam happened where the Union Pacific, even though they are ahead most of the time until the Central makes its way through the Sierra Nevada, then it becomes a different story, and then the surveyors are passing each other. It's an incredible race to be able to get this completed. But the Union Pacific goes completely broke after the last spike is driven, because the Credit Mobilier of America is a phony construction company. It was established by the men who ran the Union Pacific, but everything about it just says sabotage. They overbilled the Union Pacific and they pocketed the profit for their own gain. And there was a list of congressmen that were in on the shares. So congressmen are sitting back and reaping the benefits of all of these men who busted their rear and even died working on this experiment. And unfortunately, one of those congressmen, tainted by the scandal, became president of the United States. His name, James Garfield. If you're not familiar with him, one of the four presidents that was assassinated. Now, really, just to give a quick little piece of info, he didn't have to die. He was in the hands of very poorly trained doctors that were looking for the bullet in his stomach, but they were using a metal device, and all they could pick up was not the bullet, they were picking up the metal springs in the mattress, so they're digging around and digging around looking for this bullet, so they ended up making it worse, and thus we have the death of President James A. Garfield. Not going to say that that is retribution for him pocketing on the back profit on the backs of all those Transcontinental Railroad workers, Civil War vets, farmers, slaves, Chinese immigrants alike. The story of the Transcontinental Railroad is about connecting our nation, but it also should be about noticing the minorities that have been overlooked our nation. And I would hope that as I continue with this series, as I continue to look at other stories that deal with This is America, whether I cover the Founding Fathers, whether I cover the NASA space station, whether I cover the inventors like Thomas Edison, whether I cover music and art of contemporary America, I plan to do it with integrity, with diligence, with humility, and to honor and acknowledge as many as I can for the sake of America. Was that a lot of information? Yeah, it's quite a bit to chew on. But if you are worried about, should I share this with my kids, I 100% encourage you to find the series, This is America, Charlie Brown, whether you start with this episode or not, sit down with your families, and learn a little bit about our background. And if that is not quite up your alley, maybe you'll consider talking to my friends over at CuriosityStream, the founders of Discovery Channel. CuriosityStream is the award-winning streaming destination where viewers can journey through our world and beyond with over 2,400 documentaries to choose from for just $2.99 a month. Or if you do the annual plan for $19.99 a year after the 7-day free trial, you can consider doing that. And during the summer, if you sign up for that annual plan, you can find out by looking through my link how you can get $10 Amazon gift cards just by using CuriosityStream. Satisfy your thirst for knowledge anytime and anywhere with CuriosityStream. Access available worldwide on your television, on your laptop, on your phone. Just use my link for this podcast and learn about the summer promotions that will expire on July 30th to get your $10 Amazon gift card and learn more about what you want to learn documentary-wise from CuriosityStream. Good stuff there, guys. I thank you for stopping by for the very first one. And I think what next one we might consider, it will be in the series. I'm leaning towards doing Kitty Hawk, leaning towards doing the Wright Brothers. That could change in due time. But thank you again for stopping by. This has been your favorite Blockhead. For the first episode, this is America, you Blockhead. We will see you guys next Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel.